Today I'm talking to Paul Gibb, consultant orthopaedic surgeon in Tunbridge Wells, specialising in knee surgery. I've had an inquiry from a young chap called Richard.
Yes.
Now, he saw a specialist about a year ago. He was told he's got a damaged ACL meniscal tear
yes.
to his knee. Actually, the pain's not that severe.
Yes.
And he's kind of lived with it. Doesn't seem to cause him too many problems, but he's now thinking perhaps he should do something about it. Is that particular problem ever going to resolve itself?
Yeah, it's interesting. So some people learn to accommodate injuries by avoiding those activities that produce the symptoms. For instance, he might no longer be playing football that he enjoyed before or taking part in other sporting activities. So it's very much an individual thing, but symptoms, if they are still there, any symptoms, that's worth seeking advice about, because a surgeon will give him an opinion on whether anything needs to be done. And if he says, look, I'm coping perfectly well, most surgeons would say, well, in that case, carry on until or unless it becomes a big enough problem to warrant an operation. So no one's going to be pushing him in the direction of an operation if he's managing perfectly well without. And there are some people, believe it or not, who can manage perfectly well even when they've damaged their cruciate ligament.
So he's not going to do more damage by ignoring it?
He's unlikely, as long as it's not hurting him or the knee is giving way. If either of those are happening, he should be seeking advice here.
Okay. I think it gives him trouble when he's bouncing on the trampoline, he said.
Maybe he should be, if he wants to carry on bouncing on the trampoline, maybe he should be seeking advice.
We've had another inquiry from a chap who's called Chris.
Yeah.
Now Chris has been told that his knee was in a poor state, that he is looking at a knee replacement.
Yeah.
The specialist said, yes, you will at some point need a knee replacement. It's actually not that painful. Again, he's soldiered on. But the problem is his knee started to, his leg is bending in from the knee, and so his gait has changed. Should he not ignore that?
Well, that's interesting, because there are different types of knee arthritis that cause different groups of symptoms. So, for instance, there's a very common knee arthritis that occurs in men and women that gives you a bowed leg and a very painful knee. And those patients often present and their main symptom is pain. And the pain becomes difficult to manage, becomes intrusive, causes disability, and then they become candidates for knee replacement. There's another group of patients who have an arthritis that causes a knock-knee deformity, and they present with a different constellation of symptoms. They have often what they describe as tiredness or weakness in the knee rather than pain, and sometimes their knee gives way and becomes unreliable, and they start to become wary when they're walking down slopes or on uneven ground, and sometimes will even resort to using a stick or walking poles. Those people, they can be a problem because they present late sometimes. And if deformity starts to progress, they can become more difficult to treat successfully. So they have a different type of symptom. And I certainly have done knee replacements on people whose main complaint is weakness, tiredness or instability of the knee, who've got a progressive knock knee deformity. So maybe he should be thinking about it in those terms, yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about knee surgery?
Yeah.
Because there's been some new things happening, and I know you're at the forefront of a lot of that. So are there other options now to replacing a knee?
Yeah, so there's a lot of interest. Because knee arthritis seems to be developing in younger and younger patients nowadays, there's a lot of interest in operations that preserve the knee joint rather than replace it. Knee replacement's a fantastic operation, but it's not an operation designed for young people. We do occasionally have to perform knee replacement in young people, but it's an operation more designed for people who are in their 60s and 70s than people in their 50s. So when we see people with arthritis who are in their 40s and 50s, we are always looking for ways to preserve the knee joint and to protect it as far as we can in future. People with bow legs and knock knees, which are common knee deformities, there are operations that we can do to straighten bow legs and knock knees that reduces pressure on the injured or arthritic part and allows people to continue functioning very well, including playing sport. Things like hockey, rock climbing, horse riding. I don't think I've got any footballers who've had an osteostomy, which is the operation we're talking about, but I certainly have had people who've played competitive sport. So these are operations called osteotomies, and they're designed to correct deformity and to take pressure off the injured part of the knee. And they can often, if they're done well, and if they're successful, they can delay knee replacement for between 8 and 10 years. So there's a big interest in that field of surgery for younger people nowadays.
Are there only a few people that perform that type of surgery, particularly in this area in Kent?
Yes, there's pockets of expertise. So some surgeons will have expertise in osteotomy, and others will prefer not to do osteotomy. So there are there's websites that provide information about who does osteotomy, but it's slowly gaining traction, and more surgeons are starting to perform it as they come across more and more young patients with arthritis.
Do you do it?
Do lots of them, yes. So I do lots of osteotomy. There's a very good website that gives information called the osteotomyexpertgroup.com. So that's a website that's worth looking at. And it gives information about osteotomy that I think is useful for patients. Yeah, it's interesting. All surgical procedures, technology is helping us to do them better. Osteotomy, for instance, is now planned using computers. And well, the operation is performed virtually on a computer screen, and then that virtual operation is translated into real life in the theatre. And the computers are also now used in knee replacement surgery. And we use computers now to plan knee replacement surgery, and we use computers and robotic tools to perform knee replacement surgery. And that's a relatively new innovation.
And that's only done in certain hospitals, in certain areas?
Yeah, so there are robotic surgery is a new technology that's gradually gaining traction in the UK, and there are hospitals and centres all over the country that have started doing robotic knee surgery. The equipment is, of course, ridiculously expensive, so there are only a few hospitals that have it locally.
So when you say robotics, it's difficult to explain or describe without actually being able to see it. But yeah. Can you give us just some idea of how that works? Because when you think about robotics, you're imagining that it's a bit like a car plant where they build cars and it kind of does its own thing. Is it like that?
Well, I mean, all the robotic, there's various robotic systems available. They all share, first of all, a computer navigation element so that a computer is watching the operation, it has eyes, and it can see the bones, and the surgeon maps out the contours of the knee, tells the computer where the hip is and where the ankle is, and then the computer makes a virtual model of the knee, which can then be used to plan the operation. So it's quite sophisticated. You get a very accurate model of the knee in three dimensions, and you can then use that to do a virtual knee replacement with the computer and make small adjustments to the knee replacement before you actually do the surgery. And then the robotic tool or system helps you turn that virtual plan into an actual operation. And these systems are incredibly accurate. I mean, we're talking about half a degree or half a millimetre of accuracy. The basic systems, you talked about car plants. There is one system that has a robotic arm mounted on wheels, on a big box, and is exactly like the robotic arm you see in a car factory. And it's called a haptic arm. And it moves under its own control. It's moderated by the surgeon's hand. And it controls and guides the surgeon's hand as he operates a saw attached to the haptic arm.
So if you're there and you're guiding the robotic arm,
yeah,
why is it better to use the robotic arm rather than you do it?
Right, in that situation, the robotic arm actually holds the saw blade and in its inclination and its position. And if you try and put the saw blade in a different position, it won't let you.
Because it would be incorrect.
It's actually holding the saw blade, yes. And if you use the saw, it stops the saw at a certain level, so it controls everything about the saw blade. The surgeon is pulling the trigger on the saw blade, but the haptic arm is controlling the saw blade.
So it takes any error out
yeah.
of it.
And then the system, there are other systems that use a handheld robotic tool, which is, I think, actually it's slightly easier for the surgeon to use because the robotic tool, the surgeon holds it, but it does the milling or cutting or burring on its own. You know, you touch the bone with the robotic tool and it does its thing. And you can't take away too much bone or take the wrong piece of bone because the tool stops working or retracts. So it's incredibly clever technology.
Looking at you talking about this, you're really excited about this stuff.
Oh, it's very exciting because it's new. It's new technology that makes an operation that we do hundreds of times every year more accurate. So that's the that's the interesting thing about it, because not only is it more accurate, it's more reproducible. So, for instance, you could be more confident you're doing the same operation every time.
Exciting times, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah. It's interesting.
So apart from the removing any risk, does it demonstrate any particular improvement to the patient themselves as regards recovery or the result of the operation? Is there an improvement in that regard?
Yeah, so that's the really real key question, Lynn. So the operation using the robotic tools and the haptic arms take longer because you have to tell the computer where the knee is, and that process is involved and takes about 20-25 minutes. So it adds time to the operation. But we already know that it has some benefits, so that we know, for instance, that these systems make knee replacement more accurate. You can demonstrate that on x-rays and scans. And we know that it makes early rehabilitation faster, and people seem to have recovered a better range of motion quicker with these systems. And there's lots of explanations for that, but it's probably something to do with the way that the soft tissue balance is worked out by the computer. So yes, the short-term gain seems to be a more rapid rehabilitation. The holy grail for us is in translating that into improved survivorship of the knee replacement, i.e. will they last longer? Will they last more than 10 years, 20 years? That's what we hope, because of course no one wants to have a knee replacement revised or serviced during their lifetime if they can avoid it.
Following knee replacement surgery, how long can you expect it to last?
Well, it's interesting, and it's hard to give an absolute answer to that question, but on average one would say 15 to 20 years for the average patient. One thing we do know is that knee replacements last much longer in older patients than they do in younger patients, and that is probably because younger patients tend to be more active and heavier, and they want to do more with the knee replacements. So they will still be walking long distances, playing recreational sport, standing and working all day, farming, working in factories. So they tend to put more stress on the knee replacement. And those are the groups of patients who we think might benefit the most from robotic-assisted surgery, because they're the ones with the most to gain from having an implant that may last a bit longer. If you do a knee replacement on someone in their mid to late 70s or 80s, you can more or less tell them it could last forever. But in younger people, you have to warn them that there may be further surgery required in future.
So you don't use robotics on all patients?
At the moment we don't, and that's simply because of the extra time it takes and the extra cost of the system, etc. So in some people the potential benefit is not big enough to make it worth the extra time that the operation takes, and there's small additional risk that presents to the patient.
Do you have to set realistic expectations? What should people expect when they've had their knee replaced?
That's another very good question, because communication is one of the key skills that surgeons have to have, and setting goals and expectations that are realistic is crucially important. One of the things I always tell patients is that, especially young patients, it'll take longer to get over the operation than they imagine. In fact, the recovery time is measured in months rather than weeks, and a replaced knee will go on improving for at least a year, and sometimes 18 months. Knee replacements are perfectly compatible with normal social activities, walking long distances, walking on the downs, dog walking, horse riding, playing golf, social tennis, perhaps very gentle social skiing, but certainly not with running or with competitive contact sport, that sort of thing, football, hockey. They're not really designed for that sort of stress. So I always try and let patients know that's the sort of thing they should expect. Mm-hmm. There are some common problems that people have after knee replacement. Stiffness is one. So some people feel that the replaced knee is stiffer than the natural knee, and that can affect people who are keen gardeners, who kneel or squat, want to squat. People who cycle sometimes struggle a little bit early on to get the knee bending enough to cycle. But most people can do all of those things that they want to do without a problem.
Someone like Andy Murray then, who's had his hip, seeing what he's doing now, when I see him falling over on the tennis court, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, his surgeon must be just so upset that he's doing this.
I should imagine that. I mean, what Andy Murray has done after a hip resurfacing is quite phenomenal, really. And the hip is a very different joint from the knee, because it's a concentric ball and socket joint, so it's under very different stresses from a knee joint, which is a complicated hinge that slides and twists. But it is incredible that he's managed to do what he's done. And I imagine his surgeon probably watches his matches
in horror, yes,
with his hands in front of his eyes, and is very concerned. But because I'm sure that Andy will wear that hip out faster than someone who was 70 and just walking would do. But that's his choice, and he's obviously discussed that with his surgeon.
Yeah.
And he ploughs on this being so successful.
And there is a point where you cannot replace a joint once it's been replaced.
Yeah, the good thing about the hip resurfacing is it can be revised to a hip replacement. So if Andy needs something more done, that can be revised.
Mm. What about and
knees, yes, they can be revised, but each successive operation is slightly more difficult than the first. And each successive knee replacement needs to be underpinned a little bit more than the first. So the first one is the easiest and the best one, and the successive revisions get more and more difficult as time goes by.
Which I guess is why if you're a young person and you damage your knee, need replacing, then you try to put that off as late as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to put it off because you know that, first of all, the knee replacement's life is shorter in young people. That's one reason. Secondly, young people's expectations are sometimes a bit unrealistic, as we previously discussed. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, that it's a big interruption in their working lives. Having, the average time off work after knee replacement in the UK is 8 to 10 weeks. So it's a long time off work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Paul, we've sadly run out of time, really. But where can people see you?
Right, so I'm a member of the Knee Clinic, which is based in Tunbridge Wells. And we have two surgeons, myself and Mr. Nick Bowman. And our office is based in the Nuffield Hospital. And we have a website with a contact number. And if you search on Google Knee Clinic or Knee Surgery Clinic, you can find us. And there's an office up there, and the girls would be happy to answer any questions that anyone may have. And we operate both here and at the Spire Hospital in Forcombe and at the Horder Centre in Crowborough.
Fantastic. Well, Paul Gibb from the Knee Clinic here in Tunbridge Wells, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. It's been great chatting. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lynn.